especially because we played a game this morning. All right, ladies, who was most competitive? Anybody have that feeling like, maybe I could win? Maybe I will get all those squares. Good morning. It is so good to be here and talk about this. I really wanted to... This topic is, I think, it's crucial for us as women, as moms, because, first of all, we all feel it, right? It's one of those things that you can't get away from. We all have that moment where you're like, this is what we do when you walk in the room. We naturally do that. It's part of our human nature a little bit to size things up, to figure out. It's how we figure things out, where we fit in the world. And yet it can have a really toxic side of it as well, right? Like, there's healthy competition. There's wonderful things about competition. But what we'll talk about is when that just kind of goes right over into unhealthy, right? And I would say that where that goes to unhealthy is comparison, right? So really the name of my talk is Stay in Your Lane. And you will hear me say that several times. That is part of the habit, is to stay in your lane. And that means a lot of different things, right? So we'll talk about that a little bit. And we are no strangers to this. Let's be honest. Where we live, in La Mirinda, in the Bay Area, in California, in the United States, like the place where we live, it's a competitive place. Honestly, when I lived I grew up here, and when I lived in a different place, and we were talking about moving back here, my first reaction was not excitement. It was actually fear, because I grew up here. I know what it's like. I know how competitive it is on every level. And I was afraid that I would become someone that I didn't want to be. And so I had to be really intentional and thoughtful about that, because it does exactly what this says. It kills creativity and joy in us. And I didn't want to be focused on other things, other people, all that stuff. So I think you know this this area a little bit, and if you don't have young kids now, you may have grandkids, you may have people, but this probably is not terribly unfamiliar to you. Youth sports, anyone? Anyone seen competition in youth sports at all from adults? Okay, let's talk about the reality that it's really not the kids that are that competitive. It's the adults, there is a really funny video, because we need to talk about this. Know that I'm going to make fun of myself, because if you feel uncomfortable about competition, let's just laugh about it a little bit.
Oh, the neighbors are packing up. Looks like the kids are in soccer uniforms.
Did we miss signups?
No, I'm sure it's not too late.
I'm sure it's super simple to find a team. It's youth sports.
Yeah, and you can start playing sports whenever, right?
It's not like kids start serious training in youth sports at age 5.
I mean, do we really want to give up our Saturday mornings?
Maybe we'll just like find a team that can practice and play on the same day, whatever.
Let's not alter our life to accommodate youth sports.
This'll be fun.
It's always good to know what it's like to be part of a team.
Just for fun.
Low pressure.
They are so cute.
Wait. Is he good?
I mean, all parents must say this, but I think he may be good.
He's good, right?
I think so.
Is he special?
Our kid is obviously special. I mean, our kid and no one else.
He's the best one out there. My judgment isn't clouded at all by the fact that he's my son.
He's way too good for this rec league.
Huh, there's like traveling teams you can try out for.
Tryouts. At this age.
Yeah, and this message board says if he doesn't try out now, there's no way he'll ever break in.
He's 10.
I know, apparently we're like way behind.
Huh. When did his friend Trevor start soccer?
He was in the little booger picker shooters when he was like 3.
What?
I saw him doing bicycle kicks when he was 5.
We have failed as parents. We are behind.
We need to drop everything.
I've cleared my work schedule.
Yep, taking a half day from work.
We need to map out our child's entire future.
I mean, do you think he has a future in baseball?
You're right. Shut it down.
And then there's basketball.
He doesn't even have a step back three yet.
Shut it down.
He does love that improv comedy class.
Kim, I'm gonna improv that I didn't hear that.
We need to shut that down.
One thing only from now on, soccer.
My self-worth is directly tied to my child's success.
I mean, obviously.
What kind of extravagant training gear can we get?
Recovery compression sleeve.
Infrared sauna blanket.
High power muscle massager.
Foam roller.
Does it vibrate or have like a Bluetooth?
No.
That's not very extravagant, Kim.
Here's a team schedule. Whoa. It looks like tournaments every weekend for the next 3 months.
And practices every night?
And the coach recommends private lessons if you have time.
What is that, like a guy coming over and saying, kick the ball?
And that's gonna help?
All that training may not work, but it is expensive.
The more expensive it is, the more pressure we'll put on our kids.
That's a formula for success.
Will he have time for school?
He's fine, he's smart.
Okay, pay the team fee, buy the uniform.
Let's cash out all our vacation time and do this.
Wait, should we ask our kid if he actually wants to do this?
Oh, yeah. So what do you think, buddy?
Oh, you'd rather not do it?
But you're so good.
And that's all that matters, right?
Yeah, if you're so good, you obviously love it as much as we love watching you be good, right?
And then I feel good about myself because, you know, my parents never did this for me, so thereby it makes me feel validated in my experience.
Oh, was it our color-coded schedule?
We could scale back on the weight training plan.
Or the 10-page contract we made you sign.
Hey, buddy. It's totally fine.
Yeah, let's just go to the park.
This will be just for fun.
They have a pickleball court. You want to try that, buddy?
Holy crap.
That was good.
Do they have private pickleball coaches?
No, the neighbors are packing up. Looks like the kids are in soccer uniforms.
Can you stop it?
Did we miss signups?
No, I'm sure it's not too late.
I'm sure it's super simple.
Here, there we go. Oh, I knew I was going to do this. There we go. Okay. Anyone? Can anyone relate? Did anyone have this twinge of moment of like, oh, I see myself in that? I know I do. My kids are not necessarily in all the sports, but I am absolutely like, maybe they're good at that. I don't know. What's their thing? They have to find their thing. I don't know. It's so important. I apparently have to find a thing. And I'm like thrilled that one finds their thing. I'm like, but what about the other kid? They don't have their thing yet. This is my brain sometimes. That's real. And that's where competition is so much, it's a part of this, like, it's really more of a mental, it's like it's in our heads and it can get into our hearts, right? So Brené Brown has a really interesting definition of comparison. She says, comparison is the crush of conformity from one side and competition from the other. It's trying to simultaneously fit in and stand out. Comparison says, be like everyone else, but better. And the reason that I say, I look at that because I can feel that way. That's real. Like, I admit it. I absolutely feel that way. And I realize that it sneaks in. It's so sneaky. When I want to fit in and do the right thing, but also I'm like, but maybe if it's really about like having a lot of the times having my kids do something that like, but if you just get study just like a little harder and get that grade or whatever it is, it can be not a great place to live. So. But the reason this is so important for us is that this also trickled down to our children, right? I've been reading this book, or I read this book this spring, called Never Enough. I don't know if anyone's heard of it or read it. but it is about when achievement culture becomes toxic and what we can do about it. And I'm going to read a few quotes from this. Our kids are absorbing the idea that their world, absorbing, to get that, absorbing, it's coming from the culture, right? It's seeping in. The idea that their worth is contingent on their performance, their GPA, the number of social media followers they have, their college brands, it could be their sports, their whatever the thing is. not for who they are, deep at their core, they feel they only matter to the adults in their lives, their peers, the larger community, if they are successful. This is not where any of us, I think, intends or wants our kids to be or feel, or anyone around us, for that matter. Now, this idea of intensive parenting, right, which is what you saw in the video, intensive parenting, and this is where it comes to us as moms, is also associated with heightened feelings of isolation and a greater sense of burden. College-educated, overextended mothers can be particularly susceptible to chronic stress and burnout. In fact, the parents most at risk for anxiety and depression in these competitive communities are mothers with children in middle school. When the children start to pull away from parents and there is less emotional return on our sacrifices. And I don't know if anyone has felt that way. Anyone in here have a middle schooler? Because I do. And it's true. Like, you go through this kind of, like, process, right, of realizing that your kids are not just going to be like, oh, you're the best. Thanks for the cut-up sandwiches, Mom. They're not going to say that anymore. My daughter got braces 2 days ago, and she is in a permanent state of, like, she hates the world. And I just happen to be the closest piece of the world that has done this horrible thing to her. So I don't think this is a surprise to anyone here in this room. This is nothing you don't know. But the question is, how do we do better, right? Like, how do we not be in that space? We don't want to be in that space. And I find that it's when it's the toughest things that are going on is when I isolate and I don't want to share what that is, right? You just want to share the, like, highlight reel of things. So we're going to take it to some Bible. This verse helps us think about what do we do with these competitive feelings that we all have. Make a careful exploration of who you are and the work you have been given, and then sink yourself into that. Don't be impressed with yourself. Don't compare yourself with others. Each of you must take responsibility for doing the creative best you can with your own life. Now, that sounds great, doesn't it? There's a lot of things that I see in the Bible. Sometimes I'm like, awesome idea. How am I supposed to do that exactly? Because it is. It's like holding up this piece, this, like, ideal. And this piece of knowing yourself, the first, that very beginning, and knowing the journey that you are on, okay? So this is in my bathroom, my kid's bathroom, actually, thanks to Home Goods. Because, you know, Home Goods impulse purchases sometimes find their way into your bathroom forever. And it's funny. It makes me happy because I put it right there. I never said anything. But it gets moved around in the bathroom sometimes. I'm like, are they looking at it and, like, moving it? I don't know what's happening. But I'll just trust that it's a good thing. And it says, we are all different, and that is beautiful. And I put it there because I want them to look at that in the mirror. Like, when they look in the mirror, when my daughter's got her braces, sorry, honey, we're all different. We're all on a different path, right? And a big part of this is appreciating this bigger purpose for your life, okay? And competition keeps us right in the moment. The, like, soccer, my kid's great at soccer. Oh my gosh, maybe they're special. Like, and it takes us to this bigger picture of what does God have planned for you in this wild, precious life? You are caring for your kids. You're doing all kinds of other things. But who has God made you to be? And what is the journey that you are on? Okay? So as I was studying for this, I looked this up, this verse up, and I came across a woman, and she read it, and it hit me completely differently. See, she's a mom. She's a stroke survivor. And when you look at her reading this as a stroke survivor, it takes on a very different meaning. We're not focused on the little nitpicky, you know, whose yard is better than whose and who got their house remodeled and who didn't and what the, you know, all that stuff. You're like, whoa, what matters in life? And I think that that's what this Galatians verse is trying to get to. So I'm going to have us listen to her.
I deeply love the truth of Galatians 4 and 5. Galatians 6, 4 and 5 in the Message translation. Do we have it for them? I can't see that screen, but thank you, Jesus. I know it by heart. Listen up. Make a careful exploration of who you are and the work that you've been given. And sink yourself into that. Don't be impressed with yourself. Don't compare yourself with anybody else. Each of you must take responsibility for doing the creative best that you can with your life.
Right? When you read it through her lens, it's like, oh, yeah. That's what, there are other things that matter in this world than these little things, these little competitions that we feel. So the beginning of this verse, I'm just going to roll through a couple of thoughts about it. This is the clarity and focus that snaps me back when I'm in a place of comparison. Okay, it takes time and reflection and prayer to get to this space, I would say. To know, if you have not spent that time for yourself to say, who am I? Who do I want to be in this world? What do I have to contribute? Take that time for yourself, okay? And I say this because this is how we, the habit of bringing ourselves from off course to on course in our lane. It, to stay in our lane is like, this is what God has given me to do and who to be. Don't be impressed with yourself. I love it when the Bible's just like dropping some truth right there. But the question is, what should we be impressed with? Right? I think we're impressed with recognizing God's role in all things, not just me. Recognizing the gifts that God has given me, seeing God's beauty in nature, things that inspire me, grace. I am so impressed with grace, with people that give grace. When I see that in the world, you know, we talked about the hurricane, all the people helping, the selflessness in the world. That's what I'm going to focus on being impressed with. Don't compare yourself with others. It just says it flat out. and I'd say there's key times in my life where, like I said at the beginning, it was when I was single and it felt like everybody else was getting married, okay? And I will say it wasn't pretty. You guys, I had one friend that I had been to many, many weddings. Many friends had been married. And for some reason, it was like, why is she engaged and I am not? How, like, she's a little awkward. Like, I got competitive and it was ugly. It was bitter. You guys, I was a reader at her wedding. I read Jesus' words at her wedding. I left during the lunch. Afterward, I hopped on a plane to New York to meet my other friends because I just was like, I'm over it. I'm done with weddings. I stuffed all my like wedding clothes in the trunk of my car and just was like, I am going to go out and have fun. It was selfish. I hope she never knows that I did that. It was not pretty. But it's those things. It's when I don't have the thing that I desperately think I want or deserve. It could be health. I've had other times with my kids when my kids are not in a good place. And man, seeing when all the happy, smiley photos on social media or going to a party where everybody's like, and my kid's doing this and they're doing that. I'm like, you want to see the, like, F my kid got on their test? It's awesome. Whatever it is, like, I just feel less than. And God does not mean us to feel less than. He means us to be on our journey, in our lane, in our path, learning from the hard things, finding our way. We don't want to end in that place of bitterness, resentfulness, jealousy, envious, anger, financially unstable because we're spending more money than we should because somebody else got a new car, so we need a new car or some this or that or whatever the thing is. And also the other place that I go, this is so fun to be so super honest with you, is that really, like, in that moment with my friend, I felt superior. I felt critical. I felt worthy. I felt right. I felt like it made my insecurities better. You know, like, I felt better about myself. And that's, again, it's not where we're meant to be. It's not where we're meant to put our focus. So, the ball is in your court, is basically what this is saying. Comparison is really about conformity, and creativity is about freedom. Okay, I'm going to say that again. Comparison is about conformity, and creativity is about freedom. So this idea of creating the best life, the best you can with your own life, I can't tell you what that looks like for you. That's for you to think about. Like, what does that mean? Are you creating your best life right now? Like, it's not, I don't mean that in a, like, it's for yourself. It's for you and God to really sit and say, is this the path that you want me on? Or is this the path that I want me on? And the last thing I'm going to do is give us a few, this just goes to the, give us a little lane assist. To stay in our lanes. My son is 15 and 2 weeks from taking his driver's test, so he's almost 16. Let's just say that staying in your lane, those words come out a lot these days. And you know, has anybody done this recently, like trying to teach a child, or does anybody remember? Okay, so when you're in the lane and you're going along, and then they start to drift, okay? They start to drift to the side. And I go from, like, mild concern to, like, holding on to the seat, like, holding on to whatever is close by, to my stomach getting a little like, oh, dear God, is he going to hit something? To, like, stay in your lane, right? But those are, and we also argue about lane assist in our family. He thinks it's dumb. I think it's great. So this concept of lane assist, right? It's like just a little like beep, beep, beep. Oh, you're getting out of your lane. Anybody else have that in their car where it's like just, or even if you're like parking and it's like beep, beep, beep. But then it's like beep, 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 like super loud, right? Your car does this. I think that's like in our mindset what we need to do. That's the picture that I give you for your habit is like think about lane assist. When you're getting out of your lane, right, like kind of try to just gently bring yourself back. And so a few things are, like I said, remembering who you are and your purpose. You might just have to be like, ooh, got to get out of this. Write it down. What is important to you? You might want to put it on your mirror, put it somewhere that you can remember it. practice gratitude for your own unique journey. And get out of your bubble, that focused in spot, right? I say get on into nature, do something creative, and delete. I say that because my delete is delete social media. That's what I do for myself when I'm like, get back in your lane, girl. You're off. You're out of your lane. Don't do that. And with friendships, it's really about listening to someone else's unique journey, I would say, and seeing the ups and downs, right? Like later, and a little later, I had a good friend that this was my maid of honor, actually. I told her she had been trying to have a baby for a very long time. I told her that I was pregnant, and she could not talk to me for 3 months. It was not the response I expected. She couldn't really celebrate my win. And she came back, okay? This is the reason I say this is because it was hurtful to me. I was so excited, and I was like, my friend from forever. I told her, and she just, like, left the room. She left the house. Like, she just left when I told her. And that was not good for our friendship, as you can imagine. But she came back around to me, and she said, I needed to sit with God and realize that, you know, you have had also had hard things in your life, and this is my hard thing. And I just needed time to, like, deal with that. And I'm so appreciative for her honesty in being able to come back and say, I needed to just wrestle with this. That's okay. That's normal. She needed to take a break from me, and that's okay. At the time, it kind of sucked. But I think that that's what we can do, is she eventually got back to a place of being able to celebrate me and celebrate this whole process of having kids. So, I just want to say, consider, as we look at what this means, it is this trickle-down piece. As you have this picture of who you are, your kids see that too. That is good parenting, right? Is having this amazing picture. And it shifts, it changes. Like, as grandparents, you have a very different picture. You have a very different vision of that. But, like, I watch my in-laws. My mother-in-law talks about this. She's like, oh, these ladies, and they just talk about their grandkids nonstop. And she feels like, I only have 2 grandkids, and, you know, this person has 10, and they do all these things, and they went to these schools, and that, you know, all that. Share both sides of the story. And I think that that is the place where we can land, is share both sides of your story and listen to both sides of other people's story, and that helps us not be quite so competitive with one another. So, thank you.